You know, the other day we pulled into a place and they had well water, and I think it was sulfur water. And my wife brushed her teeth and was like, "Why does it taste like that?" And I took a shower and it smelled like rotten eggs. And I said, "Well, I said that's why it's sulfur water. So this has got to be better than that." Oh man, well, it is good to be here. I'm so thankful for the opportunity. Boy, we have had a journey. It has been one for the record books. I mean, so let me tell you about this RV. So when Pastor McLean, when I met him, it was my wife, or me, myself, Lily and Levi, because my wife and son have celiac disease. And I don't know if you're familiar with that, but they can't have any gluten. Now, I don't mean like they just can't eat bread and pasta. I mean like it's a big deal. If they have it, if there's any type of cross contamination, they could get sick. I mean, and she's very sensitive. She could get sick for a week. I mean, it's a big deal. So we decided, after they had gotten sick a few times, we decided that they would stay home until we would get an RV. Now we prayed, but you know how we prayed? We prayed knowing God was going to provide. That's how we prayed. We didn't know when. And I prayed that, "Lord, if this isn't your will, then, I mean, that's okay, but we're going to keep praying for it." But we prayed knowing that God was going to provide it for us. And I was in Texas earlier this year in February, and there was a couple that had the RV. I was actually staying in it. That was their prophet's chamber. And I was staying in it, and they came to me, and they said, "Brother Tackett, we want you to take our RV." I said, "Wow, that's awesome." He said, "But I still owe on it." I said, "Okay, well, what do you want to do about that?" And he said, "We're going to keep making the payments until it's paid off, or you can give us the money." He said, "And then at that time, then we'll sign the title over to you, and then it's yours." So I said, "Okay." So I talked to my pastor, and we thought that if I took it, with them still making the payments, that there would be, we didn't want that to be a problem. You know what I mean? And you guys can see where there could potentially be problems there. So we just pray. Oh, I had made plans to go pick it up, but what I didn't realize is that every dime that he owed on that would be provided by the time that I had went out to pick it up. 3 weeks. 3 weeks when we found out, and he owed $13,500 on it. We could trade it in for probably about 20 right now. But $13,500, I was coming back from Alabama, I was in Mississippi, heading to Mississippi from Texas, and I got in at 2 o'clock in the morning. I still had wet laundry because it didn't dry before I left, so I stayed up until 4 o'clock in the morning at a hotel doing laundry, and I was going to set my alarm for 9. I thought, man, if I can get a good 5 hours of sleep, then I can go the rest of the way. Well, my pastor woke me up at 8, and he's like, "Are you sitting down?" And I was like, "Yeah," you know, because I was still asleep. And he told me that somebody had given him a check to pay it in full anonymously. So I'm a crier anyway, and I was just like, "Oh Lord," you know, like how do you even give thanks for something like that, you know? And he said, "Just give God the glory," and that's all we can do. I mean, you can't explain something like that, you know. And it's hard for people to understand that don't know the power of God, that He is capable of doing anything. He's capable of taking the cancer away from that lady. Now, he may not, but if he does, praise the Lord for it. And if he doesn't, then we need to praise the Lord for it too, because it's his will and it's his timing. And we don't know what's going to come of that. But I'm so thankful to be here. The guy that we sold it from, or we bought it from, said it had overheated a little bit. Well, what we didn't realize is when you hit a hill, a little bit becomes a lot. So, you know, we were traveling. I can't even keep track. But we had a 7-hour drive to make, and we were going to make it in one day. You can add 2 hours because that thing, I don't think, can go the speed limit. but we're like, well, 7 hours, we'll make it in 9. Well, we drove 8 hours and only made 300 miles, 200 miles, something like that. It should have been a 4-hour trip that took us 8. So we doubled the miles because we were in Missouri, and it was up and like we'd go up a hill and have to pull over and let it cool down, and then we'd go like get the top of that, and you know, we'd try to get a run and start, and then get it up to about halfway, and then it would get hot again. We had to pull it. We pulled over probably 10 times, and finally, I'm like, "We're not gonna make it." So we just got pulled into an RV park, and prayed. And the next day, we made it the rest of the way, and then they ended up getting it fixed for us. But there's still a lot of work that needs to be done, and I'm hoping we're going to be, after we leave here, we're going to be home for 2 weeks, so I'm hoping that I can get some work done to it. That way it's like, you know, like I'm going to try to make the speed limit. Like, I'd really like to drive the speed limit, you know, but if I drive 70, then the heat starts going up, you know what I mean? And that thing gets to rocking. Miranda drove it for like 2 hours yesterday, and I was like, this is awesome. So she's scared to death, especially when big trucks come up, because when big trucks come up on you, it like wants to push you off the road. So, and this thing, I mean, it's real wobbly anyway. It was funny watching her do that. So, this morning, turn with me in Luke chapter 5. I'm with the mission board, BIMI, Baptist International Missions Incorporated, and BIMI encourages us to preach missions. And we're missionaries, so we should preach missions. But as a church that supports missionaries, I feel like you have the concept of go ye unto all the world to preach the gospel down pretty good. Your wall shows that. I know you guys give to missions. So my job as a missionary that encourages people to use their talents, that's what I want to talk about this morning is you just taking that step of faith and letting the Lord use you in a mighty way. I'm not one to title things, so if you want to title it, you can title it whatever you want. How about that? So the Lord has called me to build things, and preaching is just a part of deputation. So the Lord definitely gets me through it. But if you're expecting something that's going to blow your socks off, if that happens, then praise the Lord for it, because it's not going to be because of me. So, but before I get into this, I want to kind of give you an idea of what's going on here in Luke chapter 5, okay? Jesus is just starting his ministry, okay? He's just now getting started. There's a lot of miracles that are being performed. There's people that are being healed. There's a lot of awesome stuff happening in the beginning part of Jesus' ministry. People are intrigued. They're interested. After we read this, we'll see that there's a huge multitude of people that's following after Jesus to hear what he has to say at the next place. So basically what they do is he's going to go to the Sea of Galilee, and he's going to find some boats, and he's going to find some fishermen, and they just got back from fishing. They've been out all night. They were fishing, and they're washing their nets, and Jesus says, "Hey, look, I want to borrow your boat for a minute. I'm going to preach to these people. Can you just kind of go out into the water?" So he goes out into the water, and he's preaching to these people, and it gets done, and then he asks Simon he tells him to go out because we're going to go fishing. Now, let me explain to you how they fish in this day, okay? They typically fish at nighttime, and they fish in shallow water. Now, we can see that they fish at night because this is the morning, and these verses, when we read them, we'll see that they had just gotten back. They had just gotten back, and it also states in there that they had toiled all night. So they worked hard all night trying to catch some fish. So, and they fish in shallow water, and what they do is they take these nets that they have, and they throw them out, and then they draft them. So basically they throw the nets out, and then they scoop them up, and that's how they catch fish. So, and then Jesus tells them to do something that is outside of the normal. Jesus is going to tell him to step outside of his comfort zone and do something that they traditionally or commonly don't do. So if you'll read with me in Luke chapter 5, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed unto him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," which is the Sea of Galilee. And I saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of them, one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed unto him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto the partners, which were in the other ship, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down to Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes that had been taken. And so was also James and John, and sons of Zebedee, which were partners of Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for all that you've done for us thus far. God, we just pray that everything that we do today, Lord, will be in your honor and your glory. And God, I do pray that you use me this morning. God, I pray that you just fill me with your Holy Spirit. Pray that the hearts of the people in this room have been prepared to hear your word. And Lord, I do pray that even if one person in here, Lord, that you would speak to them and maybe change their life, Lord, that it would be worth all the miles, that it would be worth all of everything that is done. God, we thank you so much, and we love you. God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the one thing that I really like about this passage is the fact, the phrase where he says, at thy word I will. I feel like for us that has been really our lives. You know, once we realize what Jesus has done for us and everything that he has done and all that he has done, now it's just about, what do you want me to do? At thy word, I will. And that's what I want to talk about to you this morning. I want to talk about, first off, is the command that is given to Simon Peter. And Jesus says, and when they had left speaking, he said unto Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. See, Jesus tells, he's giving Simon a command. Now, you'll notice in verse 5, it says, Simon answering and said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. So, you imagine what's happening here, okay? Imagine this from your perspective, all right? From the human perspective, because Simon was a real person. He was a human. He's no different than you or I, okay? So you think about this. You think about something that you're good at, and Jesus comes in and tells you to do it the complete opposite way that you're supposed to do it, okay? So he's coming in, and he's telling Simon Peter, look, he says, I know that you're an expert fisherman, because he is. That's what Simon Peter does. He's an expert fisherman. So, you know, he goes out at night and in shallow water, and they throw out their nets, and that's how you do it. I mean, that's how they live. That's probably how they make money, you know. So for Jesus to come in and to tell him to do something different, he's like, now, wait a minute. We were just out there. Nevertheless, he said, Master, we've toiled all the night. So they worked hard. It's not like they were just puttering around, you know. I mean, I can just imagine, because there was a crew of them. It talks about how many were there. You know, I'm gonna assume there was probably a couple boats, and they were like, well, let's go over here to the north side and throw it out. And they threw out their nets, and it didn't catch anything. And then, well, let's go over here. The wind's blowing this way, so let's go over here to right now and throw the nets out and try to catch something. They worked all night, and they didn't catch anything. So when Jesus comes in, and he says, listen here, young man, I want you to go out into the deep water, and I want you during the day to throw out your nets. He says, "But we were just out there. We didn't catch anything. So what do you, like, just because you're telling us to, do you think that that's actually going to make a difference? Well, he says, at thy word, I will let down the net. So he obeyed, kind of. I'll explain that in just a minute. He kind of obeyed. He says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their nets and their net. Notice where it says net. It's singular. It's net. If you look up in verse 4, Jesus says, let down your nets for a draft. You see, so he kind of obeyed. Jesus told him to let them out, the nets, and he said, I'll let down my net and their net break. Well, now don't you think that if they would have let out both of them, it probably wouldn't have broken, because he obeyed, but it was unfaithfully. It was an unfaithful obedience, because he's thinking, you know what? We were just out there. I mean, I'll go because you said so. But I'm just going to throw a net out, because that means if I throw two, then I probably got to clean them and all that. So I'm just going to throw one out. But Jesus said two. And he says, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both ships up so that they began to sink. So even though they didn't initially obey, they saw the blessing of their little bit of obedience that he went out, so he obeyed, right? So Jesus blessed them by giving them a huge multitude of fishes. So many fishes that their nets broke, their singular net broke. So many fishes that they started to fill their boats up with fish and it began to sink. And he's like, hey, come over here. We got more fishes and I want to put some in your boat. So they filled up two boats almost to the point where they were to sink. Then in verse 8 it says, and when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down to Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. You know why he did that? Because he didn't really have a whole lot of faith. He didn't really have a whole lot of faith. Because when he said, at thy word I will, that was his obedience. But when he only threw out the singular net, that was his unfaithfulness, because he didn't really believe that it was going to happen. But then he says, when Simon Peter saw it and he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. So how often do we do that? And I don't know about you, but I've done that a lot in the past, where I feel like the Lord's speaking to me or telling me to do something. And a lot of times I just do it not happily. I remember my wife, it was funny. I started in Master's Club on a Wednesday night service, and I drugged my wife into it. She didn't want no part of that. You know, she didn't want nothing to do with it. But once she was there and saw the blessing and saw what God was doing there, then her heart changed and she truly saw the Lord doing a mighty work there. So she did it, even though maybe she didn't want to. And with us, with you, how often does that happen, that God speaks to you and maybe it doesn't make sense? Maybe you can't comprehend what God's trying to do. And say, let me give you a good example. Say right now, this is your missions month. Say God's already speaking to you about what you're going to give. Say, I'm just going to throw some numbers out. Say God's saying, well, I want you to give $100 a month. And you're thinking, I don't have that in my budget. So I'm going to give 80. Well, this is exactly what's going on here. Because if God's telling you to give something, he already has something prepared for you. Just like here, he obeyed a little bit because he said, at thy word I will. But God already had those fish waiting on him. Same thing with you. If you give what God has for you to give, it doesn't have to make sense. You're probably not going to understand why he told you the number that he gave you. But let me tell you something. There's a blessing waiting on the other side of your obedience. You just have to be willing to say, at thy word, I will. Amen. It doesn't have to make sense. Just like with these guys, right? Think about this. They had just gone fishing. They came back. Their nets are clean. The guys are tired. And then Simon goes over and says, look, guys, Jesus wants us to go back out. We were just out there. I know we're tired. We're hungry. We want to go home. We want to get some sleep. So he's got to convince these guys, look, we got to go back out. And they went. I feel like faithless. But they went. Now, you may go door knocking with no intentions of winning anybody to the Lord. But did you go? Do you give to get? Or do you give because God tells us to give? You know, every step that we take outside of our comfort zone expands our future potential. Because if we try to comprehend what God is doing in our simple, finite minds, we'll never increase our faith, because sometimes God's plan doesn't make sense to us. For us to quit a job where I was making $100,000 a year, to start a business that I don't even have any type of business degree, any type of college degree in the secular side at all. I don't have any type of education. I'm just a dumb old hillbilly, trailer park trash. You know what I mean? Yeah. Hey, man, right? I'm nobody. God allowed us to start a business, which was successful for about 4 years. Called us to this ministry. Nothing that we have done has made sense. Now, we're a family of five with not enough money coming in to pay our bills, and we're not late on anything. We just paid off an RV that was $13,500. Why? I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. But God has called us to this. He's provided for us. He meets our needs. I mean, when we pulled in, we had enough money to get here. And I've got a little bit over half a tank of gas left. You know why? Because I know God's going to meet our needs. Whether it's here or whether it's somewhere else, God's going to meet our needs. Does it make sense? You can't write this stuff up. You can't make up what God does. I don't know what He's going to do, but I know because we trust in Him, we believe in Him, we know that He's going to take care of us. It doesn't have to make sense. Doesn't have to make sense. You know, I'm going to finish with this quick little illustration, and then we're done. When I was a boy, I told you this morning, for those of you guys that were in here for Sunday school, I lived in West Virginia. I live right by a lake, which was awesome. So once I got my driver's license, I mean, I was at the lake all the time. If I wasn't working or, you know, getting in trouble doing something, I was at the lake. And I mean, I was tanned up. I was in sports for a little bit of that time. And I mean, I just really enjoyed myself. But there was this rock, this section of rocks that we used to jump off of. And the first one was real small. Like you walk down, you park your car and you walk down this big hill, and the first thing you pass that's the highest one up is called Shooting a Laurel. And that thing's about 70 foot off of water. I'm talking that thing is high. And then you walk down a little bit further, and then there's another one that's about 30 foot. And then the other one, the itty bitty one, that's probably only, I don't know, you could probably stand up on top of this pulpit here, and probably 4 or 5 foot off of water. Well, when I first went down there, I mean, that first rock was a little bit intimidating because I'd never jumped into the water before, you know? So, I mean, you step out and you see the water, get a little bit nervous. But then I did it. And I thought, man, that's pretty good, wasn't it? I like that. Well, then you did it again, and I did it again. And then I started diving off of it. And then I started doing front flips, and then I started doing back flips. And now this ain't nothing anymore. Now it's time to move on up to the 30-footer, you know? So you go up to the 30-footer, and this thing is rough. I mean, you're looking down, and it's like a straight, like, sheer cliff just down into the water. Miranda jumped off of it before. How'd you like that? She hated it because it's scary. I mean, you get up there, and it is plumb scary. And I mean, and you jump, and it's like 1-2 seconds before you hit the water. You know, so it's then like that's 2 seconds. You're like your life is flashing before your eyes, you know. So you jump off, and that's one everybody jumps off of. So being like a teenager, you know, like that's one the adults do, you know. So I thought I was cool stuff because I jumped off the one the adults do. So but then I got comfortable with it. So this one down here, it ain't nothing. I don't even go down there anymore. But I go here, and then I got so comfortable with jumping off of it that I started diving off of it. Now you talk about a show. Why? Because nobody does that, you know. So I'd put my hands in front of my head. I'm not the diver body type, okay? But like I'd put my hands out, and it would like make a hole for my head. That way, it wouldn't like jerk my neck back whenever I hit the water. I mean, I did get water up my nose a couple times, but I mean, you know, for everybody to be like, "Yo, dude, that was so cool," be like, "Yeah, it was." You know, I mean, that made me feel good about myself. But then once I got comfortable with this one, then I thought, you know what? I'm going to go up there top of the hill and try that sucker. Let me tell you about that one. So there's a rock like up on top, and then you got to like walk down around this rock. Now the rock is like here, okay? And then you scoot over to here, and then you can see the water like over this way. And there's, I don't know if y'all know what laurel bushes are, but there's these big old, it's kind of like, this looks like a laurel bush, kind of thick, you know? And laurel bushes was like all in the way of where you got to jump. Hence the name shooting a laurel. You got to shoot through it and then go through the laurel bush. So you can't even see what's happening like from here when you jump. So like literally you run back and you jump off here. You can't see the water yet. You clear that rock and then you see the water and you're like, "Oh, what have I done?" You know, like that's basically what it turns out to. But once you did it, then I got a confidence build up and I did it again. Yeah, twice. Once was enough, but I did it again. Now, what was crazy is that if I wouldn't have jumped off of this one, this little bitty one that now means nothing to me, if I wouldn't have jumped off of this one, there would have been no way whatsoever that I would have had the nerve or the courage to do something where I couldn't see the result. So, I don't know what God's speaking to you about today. I don't know where you're at in your faith. I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God. I don't know where you're at with giving to missions or with stepping out in faith and doing something more for the Lord. God wants you to do something where you can't see what's going to happen. But first off, you've got to start somewhere. Even if it's the littlest thing, coming out on visitation or actually giving your tithe or giving a little bit to missions, you've got to start somewhere. And this right here is saying, "Lord, at thy word, I will." Remember this, and I'm done. And I said it before, but I say it again because I think about it on a regular basis to myself, that there's a blessing waiting on the other side of obedience. You just have to be willing to say, "At thy word, I will." That's it. We're done. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. And God, I do pray that there's somebody in here this morning, Lord, that's ready to take that first step. Lord, maybe there's somebody that's already on the second step and ready to move on to the next one, Lord. God, I do pray that maybe there's somebody in here this morning that is ready to do something for you that they can't see the outcome. Whether it be giving more to missions than they've ever given, Lord, stepping out in faith and doing something for you full time. Lord, maybe they're being called to full time service. God, I don't know what you have going on in this building this morning, but I know that something is happening. And God, I do pray that you just encourage these people, encourage your people, Lord, to just take that next step of faith, Lord. And just like our Bible says here, that they would say, "Lord, at thy word, I will." God, we thank you so much for all that you're going to do for us. God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.